This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line as we say good morning. Of course, presented by BetMGM. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We are officially coast to coast and somewhere in between. As we say hi, I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Josh Applebaum's going to be joining us from Massachusetts. And in the middle is my guy, parts unknown, Michael Lombardi. I believe you're still in Arizona. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning, Patrick. Good morning, Josh. Yes, I still am here. I'll be here again tomorrow. Then I'll be coming to the city of Las Vegas on Monday, Tuesday to watch little Patriots Raiders and then head back to the Jersey Shore. So it's all good. It's working out well. We got preseason games to watch, teams to handicap. It's been fun.
And Josh Applebaum, of course, Market Insights, Betting Across America. We welcome you. Good morning. Michael, before we get to Josh, I want to ask you, it's almost like when I've been introducing you, it's like the wrestler from Parts Unknown. But you have been you've been in Arizona now for like 5 days. What's been going on there?
Well, you know, there is the practices and, you know, college teams are in fall camp, summer camp, their fall camp. They call them fall camp, even though it's not fall. So get ready for the season. So spend a lot of time with the coaches, spend a lot of time with the recruiting department here and just trying to help them out as best I can. And so Jedd Fish, the head coach, and I go back a long way and I've tried to help him as much as I possibly can. Try to get this program back on track. You know, they won one game last year. They haven't been very successful. And I think they've got a good recruiting class now, and they've got a couple good young quarterbacks. They've got a lot of better skill players, so I think he's got the momentum building in this program, and it's going to be critical because as we've seen with the development of Pac-12 and the big money that's been spent on Big Ten football, I think the next wave is going to be what does the Pac-10 do? Do they take the Big 12 in, or the Big 12 take the Pac-10? I think you're going to see three power conferences before this is all said and done, or four. And, you know, 45 teams are basically going to make up college football.
Yeah, the college football landscape over the next five or so years is not going to resemble what it has in the past. That's 100% true. Michael Lombardi, I just want to say one thing. My man is grinding. He had these days off, and he's working. So we appreciate you. Josh Applebaum joining as well. Preseason week two, Josh. Three games yesterday, eight today. The unders bark back a little bit, 2-1. The favorites yesterday, 3-0 straight up, 3-0 ATS. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Patrick. Good morning, Michael. And Michael, by the way, we talked about that Arizona Wildcats win total, only win one game last year. It's 2.5 this year, juiced up over -160. So maybe this is kind of a contrarian buy low opportunity, expecting a kind of a good year, bounce back year. So Michael, you make sure we cash that over 2.5 with all the intel you're giving Arizona. But guys, I think the important thing right now, two things. One is regression. Remember, we had week one of the NFL preseason where it was just overs, overs, overs. They went 14-3. The odds makers took a huge hit. But they've adjusted, and I think this is really important in betting. Just because one thing happens at a high rate one week, you can't just automatically bank on it happening again, because the books took a hit, and they're not in the business of having consecutive losing weeks. So, you know, week one, we had totals around 35. Now they're up to 40, and that regression has taken place. As Patrick, you mentioned, unders are now 3-1 their last four. You had 2-1 yesterday. You had to sweat that one on Thursday, but you're able to cash. And then also, guys, information-based bets. This is so important. There's a bunch today, but when there's a situation where, you know, Belichick's playing his guys and his opponent, Rule is going to sit all his guys and the line goes to the Patriots or the Texans. They're going to play their starters. McVay won't. The line goes to Houston. They're not going to win every single time, but that's been a good system overall. And the one today that really caught my eye, Mike McCarthy, the Dallas Cowboys going to the Chargers. McCarthy, he really doesn't care about preseason. He's not going to play his guys. He's 0-7 straight up his last seven preseason games, 0-5 with the Cowboys. And this line at one point was close to like -1, -2 Chargers. Now it's -5. So in those spots, I go with the information-based bet, money line the team that's playing their guys, where the line's going to. So I'm money lining Chargers today.
Josh,
yeah, but
we'll
the Chargers.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Chargers aren't going to play their guys either. That'll be an interesting game. I mean, this will be all backup game. You know, one thing I thought we saw last night with the Rams, and I think it was Bryce Perkins now, this kid from Virginia for 2 weeks in a row has played really well. Walford played well last night as well. You know, I think what Josh said is so important. These teams today, Miami playing the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, the Raiders probably didn't even take half their team with them to Miami. you know, it's such an inconvenient trip and you're not going to play. Why would you take the players? So, you know, I think that Miami, will they play Tua? Yeah, I think that's what the word is. Now, they're not going to play Tyreek Hill or Waddle, but I think they're going to try to get their offense going a little bit. And I think that's the key point is, you know, what team is really going to take the game more seriously? And last night was the perfect example. I mean, the Patriots were playing against the twos and their offense didn't look that effective until the second quarter. They made a few plays and got the lead.
Yeah, let's start there with our Nesson audience, and we'll start with Carolina, New England. A late cover for New England, 20-10, obviously stays under Michael Lombardi. Josh, under the posted total and the closer at 38. Let's start with New England. We saw the starters, Michael. We saw Mac Jones. He was shaky that first quarter. 19 yards per play, 21 yards in total. But then Mac ended on a high note. Aguilar got going with that deep threat as well. 81-yard touchdown drive again. It was against the second unit for the Panthers, but you liked what you saw from Mac on that final drive, Michael.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think, look, as the Patriots watch the tape today, they're going to have to get their offensive line to play at a better level. That wasn't all the starters for the Carolina Panthers in there playing against their starting offensive line. So they've got to figure out a way to get that line going, get that outside zone play going that they want to run. They want to run the inside and outside zone. Look, no one's game planning. And even though you're playing your starters, doesn't mean you're game planning. You know, you're just trying to get them out there and get them loose and get them going. And I think that ultimately, once Mac Jones got into the rhythm of the game, he looked good. I mean, just watching him, he looked like his body is different. I thought he was throwing the ball really well. You know, it's going to take some time to get all these things going. But again, we're not game planning. So even though you're playing your starters, you're still not game planning. You're just running the stuff that you run. You don't want to show anything. And I think if you're Matt Rhule, you feel pretty good about it. Your younger players played well. You got a chance to evaluate your guys against better competition. That's all you want.
So a couple things on this. One, the joint practices were spirited between the Panthers and the Patriots. We understand this, Michael. But for most of us and casual observers of the NFL, they're thinking, well, what's going on with this quarterback competition? So let's start there with Carolina. The expectations, we're going to hear something soon about Baker being the starter. But obviously, we didn't see Baker or Sam Darnold last night. Do we have an update on what's happening there with the quarterback position in the Panthers?
No, but I think you're going to get a decision. I think maybe week three they'll play their guys a little bit just because of the bye week that happens. I mean, typically week four was the week no one played anyone because there was a game coming up. But now you've got 2 weeks before the first game. So you want to get some rhythm going. You want to be able to get – and you're going to cut the team right after the third preseason game. So I would suspect Matt Rhule goes back to Carolina today, tomorrow, makes his decision based on what he saw at the practices, what he's seen in his practices, and move forward and then really tailor down the offense around who he decides to start. I think it'll be Baker Mayfield because, let's face it, Baker Mayfield's tape as a pro player is better than Sam Darnold's tape as a pro player.
Okay, so you weren't here yesterday, but I think I solved a riddle, Michael. So let me follow up with a tweet, M. Lombardi NFL. Now, I don't have it verbatim, but let's talk about something you said. And I need you to be honest with me
here. I was here yesterday.
No, the conversation, we talked about you when you weren't here. So here's what you said in the tweet. Basically, you said, when Hoyer's in there, it's Judge. And then when Zappi's in there, it's Patricia. Yeah, I know. And then you said, when Zappi's in there, it's Patricia. Maybe I have them flipped. That doesn't matter.
Yeah,
but here's what
matters.
Okay. You said at the end, you said, and then when Mac Jones is in there, maybe it's somebody else. And I said, well, what the hell are you talking about, Michael? These are the guys we're talking about. It's Judge and Patricia. One is going to be the offensive coordinator. Then all of a sudden, there's some rumblings. It could be Belichick calling plays. Were you somehow doing something like, were you sneaking something subliminally into that tweet? What's going on with the play calling?
Look, I've said this many times before. Belichick's the head coach of the team. He's going to run the team. Like, he isn't a guy to delegate, okay, you just run the offense and I'll hope you get it straight. You know, they have a system in place, including when Josh McDaniels was there. You know, like, I wish I could tape. I really do. I wish I could have taped Bill Belichick's Saturday night pre-coach meeting when he would meet with the coaches before a game and he would lay it out. He would go over special teams and tell Joe Judge, hey, here's what I think we should do for the first return. Here's what I'm like for the second based on the practice. Then he would go to Josh McDaniels. Hey, Josh, on third down, let's start this way. Let's start the game with some fast tempo. It wasn't I'm calling the plays, but I'm adjusting the philosophy. Same thing defensively. I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, he is going to be interconnected with all three phases of his team because he is the best coach on his team. Why wouldn't he do that? And we have this notion that, we're going to just give one guy the offense. Kellen Moore, you go over here and run the offense. It's no problem. We'll just live and die with you, Kellen. And if you work out, great. You know, I'm Mike McCarthy. Go ahead. That don't happen in New England. That's not what happens in New England. There is a system in place. There's a head coach. I mean, Bill Parcells used to call the plays when he was at the Cowboys, and sometimes he wouldn't even get the play right. He'd say, run that, and, you know, and then they would call it because he understood how to play the game in a three-dimensional way, offense, defense, and the kicking game.
Yes, I understand that. But could you see Bill calling plays in the regular season? Could you see them there with the placard, literally calling plays?
I've known Bill since I've watched Bill coach since 1988. I've never seen him with a plaque in front of him, so I don't think he's going to have that. But I am positive that through his career in coaching, he has called plays, and he's smart, and he can make the adjustments. So he may not have the Cheesecake Factory menu in front of him to let everybody in America know he's calling plays. You know, this is one of the first things I've ever asked him in my life. You know, when I met him, first time I met him was at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, at the old Hilton Hotel. He came down, and Ernie, of course, he was there, and Belichick came down, and it was 1989. And we were looking for a head coach. And the first thing I asked him, I said, Bill, I've never seen you with a playlist in front of you. He says, I got Lawrence Taylor. I'm calling flip cover two. You know, like, what do I need a playlist for? Right. And since then, I've never seen one. Now you see him write notes, but he's not going to see him. Yeah, of course I could see him calling plays. He's the best coach on the staff. Why wouldn't he call plays?
Take it easy. I was breaking down your tweet like it was the Da Vinci Code yesterday. I was like, wait, is he connecting the dots over here? Nesson needs to know who's John calling Nash. These plays.
You're playing John Nash at Princeton. You're up there on that board writing it around.
That's exactly right. TMZ star, Instagram star, Michael Lombardi joins us here on his show. We're thankful for that. Josh is in as well as we continue here on a Saturday. It's the Lombardi Line. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Brent Musburger, thank you. Here are the top horse racing plays from ExpressBet analyst Jeff Siegel. That's our guy at Saratoga, the seventh race. Jeff likes the 5. Echo again at 9-5 on the morning line at Del Mar, the great race place. In the 10th, Jeff has the 5. Infinite Empire at 6-1. That's a good price. Get a $10 free bet when you sign up today for the first bet. App, VSIN's preferred horse racing app. Use the code HORSE200, H-O-R-S-E 200 for $10 in free bets, and then get a $100 match, 100% match on up to $200. That's pretty damn good. Remember, they got wagering at more than 300 tracks, AI-assisted picks. That's first bet app is the easiest way to get it done. Go to VSIN.com/horses. That's VSIN.com/horses for more information. Now, the one thing I will say is we welcome you back. Michael Lombardi there, Josh Applebaum. I'm Patrick Maher. Good morning. This is the Lombardi Line. One thing I will say, remember when Phil Simms and Bill Parcells were in the mix and Parcells was calling plays, they used to get into a lot of fights. The question is if Belichick's calling plays, we've seen a spicier Mac Jones in year two, Michael Lombardi. Those two could be button heads, no?
Well, I don't think so. Look, when we say call plays, right, like I think the fans don't truly understand the dynamics of how to call plays. You try to be one play ahead, right? And you try to lay it out so that you have a way to get into a flow. You want to, it's not a linear thing. It's two dimensional. We're going to run this to set up that. We're going to do that to get to there. You know, and so the ball's on the right hash. Let's make sure we do something here. You know, this is what we talked about all week long. Play calling is a reflection of game planning, right? And so, and I wrote about this for the Daily Coach. I think we often talk about planning to win when it's ridiculous. It's strategy to win. And the strategy is involved in the play calling. And so that's set up Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And when you're watching practice on a Friday afternoon in the red zone and you run a play, that doesn't look good. Let's not run that. That's play calling. We're not going to run that play. And I think we get so caught up in the Madden in the basement. You know, I'm going to run this. Like, it's way more complex than just that.
Okay. Really what I'm trying to do is cause drama. So we've got a couple of weeks until I'm trying to stir it up.
I know you are, and I'm going to be exactly the way Belichick is. I'm just going to keep giving you the answer that you don't want to hear so you can continue to stir it up. Because, you know, there's no story, you know, unless I say, oh, there's no way Belichick. He doesn't know anything about all. I mean, this is what I love. This is one of my pet peeves of all time, these geniuses on Twitter. You know, Belichick doesn't know anything about offense. Oh, really? He doesn't know anything about offense. Okay. He's only been the greatest defensive coach in the history of football, but he knows nothing about offense, right? Like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You know, what is Bill Walsh's credit to why he was so successful as a head coach running an offense? Because he was coaching defense. Ernie Zampisi coached defense. That's how you understand what to do. Josh McDaniels was started on the defensive side. That's the only way to really understand how to become a good offensive coach is to learn the defense.
I'm just waiting for you to do to me like he did to the reporter when eventually he just goes, why do you care? It's just like,
We have a huge Nesson audience. They care. They're obsessed with it. They want to know who's calling the plays. They want to walk into the post office and see the picture of the play callers for the Patriots. I mean, it's like ridiculous. Like, the game plan will be set up so that it gives the team the best chance to win. And the implementation of the game plan, like, okay, everybody sees Steven Belichick call plays. But I can promise you, Bill's saying, hey, Steven, let's think about Zero Cobra. Let's think about Sparrow on the next call. All right. Like, that's what goes on with a real head coach in a game. Now, some of these guys, they don't even know what's going on that side of the ball. They couldn't even say it. That's the difference between having a guy who understands how to be a head coach.
Just know, Nesson, that I have your back, and I will get the answer from Michael Lombardi before this season starts. I just want you to know I have your back, and I'm going to get it out of the big guy. Okay, you love George Pickens, the thought that he could be a breakout star there with Pittsburgh. There's two rookies to focus on here. Josh, I want you to take a look at the Offensive Rookie of the Year market. I'll come back to you on that. But let's start with Kenny Pickett, who 13 of 15, and Michael, you said it better than anybody, 13 of 15, just 95 yards. Those were extended handoffs in week one, but he has moved up the depth chart there. He's jumped over Rudolph, so he's going to see time against the first teamers today with the Steelers and Jags. The Jags are going to play most of their starters in the first half here. Let me ask you a question. Could we potentially see Kenny Pickett under center for the Steelers in week one?
I don't think so, but I think you have to do this. Like, I don't think he's jumped Rudolph. I think you have to put him in a situation where the game is faster. And I talk about this all the time on my podcast. I talk about this here on VSiN. The game is really slow. Last night, you know, the game was slow. It's going to get faster come week one of the season. And the only way you're going to learn if Pickett can play faster is to put him again when players are playing fast, the better players. When the game is slow, you can check the ball down. It's easy. You know, you can throw it around. But I think they need to get a look at him. Do I think he's ready to play? No, not yet. Do I think he's ready to take over? I think Mike Tomlin would be too concerned about him making some mistakes. And if Trubisky can continue to play within himself, not make mistakes, you know, not turn the ball over, I think Mike Tomlin, another head coach, is going to try to win the game with defense, kicking game, and his run game.
So traditionally, Tomlin, he's 35 and 24 in the preseason in his career, Michael, but traditionally this dress rehearsal game, the second or, as it were, the third back in the day, was when Tomlin would play the preponderance of his starters. Let me ask you a question, because there does seem to be a different ideology with some of the way the coaches are handling games 2 and 3 in the preseason. Why do you think the dress rehearsal has kind of shifted? Like Lovie Smith said, he's focused on week 3 as opposed to week 2 of this preseason.
Well, because of that bye week, which we never had before. And what Josh talked about, the unders coming in now. Okay, why are the unders coming in? Because people are actually starting to play a little bit more physical. We're seeing more physical football. The defenses are starting to try to hit somebody. They're not missing tackles. The other thing is we're starting to play some other guys. So they're getting used to playing football. When you're not used to playing football, you don't tackle well. Your pad level's too high. So that's why I think the unders are coming down a little bit. It's not going to always be the case. But I do think that's why we saw a redirection, you know, and a readjustment to the week one. Because week one, it was almost like touch football out there. It wasn't really physical. This week, it got a little bit more physical.
Okay, Josh, Offensive Rookie of the Year. George Pickens, what people have to understand about George Pickens, when you see this big stud with the Steelers, this was a kid coming out of high school that was a 5-star. He was going to be a stud at Georgia where he was, but injuries derailed him. And he's flashed here so far in camp. And in week one, Josh, where's he sitting in the market there at DraftKings as far as Offensive Rookie of the Year?
He's the new favorite, guys. That's the big news right now. If you dial up BetMGM, plus 850, George Pickens. And I want to know who's picking the wide receivers there out in with Pittsburgh, because it feels like they get these great steals later, you know, round two, round three. But Pickens has really popped. You talk about his first game, Patrick, 3 catches, 43 yards and a touchdown, and massive movement in his favor. He actually opened, and this is the importance of, again, no one has a crystal ball. It's hard to predict these things, but he was 50-1 when this award first came out. Now he's plus 850 as the favorite. So massive movement toward Pickens, 6'3", 200 from Georgia, as you mentioned, Patrick. Round two pick here. Now, if you look at Kenny Pickett, he's still right next to Pickens. He's plus 900. I think the thing with Pickett, though, is, you know, when is he going to play? Will he have enough playing time? Will Trubisky, MVP Mitch, as Michael loves to say, just kidding, will he play? Will he play well and make sure that Pickett, you know, maybe even doesn't play until later in the year? That's your worry with Kenny Pickett, how much playing time he'll get. But Pickens has moved a ton, plus 850. And if you look at kind of the bet first dollar discrepancy, look at Pickens. He's only getting about 8% bets, but almost 15% of the money at BetMGM. A lot of money's coming on Pickens. And also keeping out for the win total, guys. It's 7.5 for Pittsburgh. A lot of people are kind of, I don't know, not really talking about Pittsburgh. They feel like a team that's flying under the radar. No Deshaun Watson in the division game. They have the easiest schedule in terms of travel miles. Tomlin's never had a losing year. I like the Steelers over 7.5 wins.
I do too, Josh. And let's just talk about Pickens for a second, Patrick. You know, here's a kid that goes to Hoover High School, highly recruited, supposed to go to Auburn, you know, took a lot of trips. And then he got him, and then he decided to go to Georgia. He takes the Southeast Conference by storm, right? So he's rookie of the year in the Southeast Conference. He has 43 catches. And then his junior sophomore season, he's got 38. Then he starts to have the injury bug. But, I mean, this is a truly talented man who was a big play player in the Southeast Conference when he entered. Now, to answer Josh's question, who's picking receivers? You know, Mike Tomlin played receiver at Bill and Mary. Nobody remembers this. They see, Mike Tomlin knows offense, too. I know this is shocking, but Mike Tomlin played receiver. Mike Tomlin understands the position, right? So Mike Tomlin is instrumental, and I think Kevin Colbert's instrumental, too. I think Kevin does a great job. But Mike Tomlin's instrumental in the selection of these receivers because he played it. He understands the position, and he understands how to coach defense. So I like Pickens. I think it proves my point that they get him at 54, and you're taking guy, and the Atlanta Falcons are taking guys at 8, and they can't block anybody. It makes no sense at all. Like, it makes no sense. If Pickens is better than Drake London, how do you justify that, especially when you can't stop the run the ball, or protect the passer if you're the Falcons? And I like the Steelers on the over tremendously.
Yeah, you've been liking that over for a while now. By the way, 8.5 to 1, he is the favorite over at BetMGM. You want a better price on George Pickens? Go to DraftKings right now. You can get 11-1 Offensive Rookie of the Year. That's the difference in the market. Michael, before we say goodbye, first off, you know you're my guy. You're my partner. So I can stop annoying you about this whole Belichick thing if you just send the phone number, bro, because I still keep checking and I don't see the contact coming to my phone. Listen,
I don't think I get good cell service here.
You know what? You're a great liar. Enjoy your day. Thank you for doing this, Mike. I'll see you tomorrow,
Patrick.
Okay?
All right, bye-bye.
All right, M. Lombardi NFL across the board on social. We're coming back. We got 8 games in.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Thursday is a big day for us here at VSiN because our NFL guide drops this Thursday. The college football guide, rave reviews across the industry, and now comes the NFL guide. So remember, the only way to get access this year to the football betting guides is to become a VSiN all-access subscriber. It's very simple. This college football betting guide, literally, I attack it every day. It's over 350 digital pages, so it's very easy to navigate. It's the information I wish I had coming up in betting. Now comes the NFL guide, which I'm told is even better, which is crazy. You can get it all discounted for $175 right now. That's like 50% off. Just go to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe for both the guides. Remember, you're going to get everything we offer through the Super Bowl for $175, or you can sign up for $40 a month. It's vsin.com/subscribe. Okay, we got you back here on the Lombardi Line. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Josh Applebaum up in Massachusetts. We thank Michael Lombardi for stopping by his show. And I just want, Nesson, I want you to understand that I've got your back, because the biggest conversation is this play calling. Like, the play calling situation in New England is the greatest mystery. And the reason I'm obsessed with it is because I have this newfound obsession, Josh, with Bill Belichick. And there's a couple of reasons why. Here's a good example. Go ahead and roll it, Steven.
Just really quickly, just to follow up, if I could, you mentioned earlier with the offensive play call, you're going through a process. What do you need to see to make a final decision?
We're going through a process. Simple as that.
Okay. It's just a little bit of an unusual situation for us that have watched you guys before. Well, and so,
what do you want me to do?
I guess we're just looking for a little clarity as to
great
why we're seeing what we're seeing.
Yeah. Going through a process.
Okay.
Okay, so there is the clip that I'm obsessed with, and that is Bill Belichick. I don't think he actually says, why do you care, to the reporter, because the reporter's job is to cover the team. But the idea that he just dismisses him makes it, I mean, it's even more covert. And Josh, you're up there. You're a New England Patriots fan. You're a Boston sports fan. This is the topic that everybody's discussing. What the hell is going on with the play calling in the Patriots?
You're exactly right, Patrick. And all stems with New England here, because the other question is, what the heck is up with Tom Brady right now? When's Tom Brady going to play, and when's he going to return to practice? But I can just tell you from on the ground, Patrick, you know, Michael gave us the great take, the inside scoop, and I'll go with Michael on this one. Belichick is a genius. He can do offense, defense. He can do everything. He can call the plays. I get that. But I think if I can take off my, you know, betting hat and put on my Patriots fandom hat, I was born and raised in Massachusetts. I've watched the Patriots my entire life. I think it's just frustrating in a couple ways because Belichick has spread himself so thin. You know, there are opportunities here to hire a real offensive coordinator, try to bring back Bill O'Brien. Adam Gase's name was thrown around, and bringing in Judge and Patricia, who have really focused on either defense or, you know, special teams or wide receiver for Judge. It just doesn't make too much sense here that with Mac Jones going from year one to year two, such a huge year, that you're going to entrust him with guys who really don't have a lot of expertise in that department. So I know these guys are smart, Patrick, but if you and I are in, you know, fifth grade science class and someone walks in and they're an English teacher and they've never taught science, are we going to learn a lot about, you know, the periodic table? I don't really know. That to me is the question mark here. And if you look at last night, you did see Patricia kind of with that little side walkie-talkie and with the play sheet there. So maybe Patricia is holding the fort right now. I think what you're hearing, and again, this is all rumors and just listening to these reporters every single day at camp, it's that Judge is kind of the heir apparent in terms of offensive coordinator, but Belichick may feel like he's not quite there yet. So maybe Patricia is keeping the seat warm. And I think Belichick, you know, maybe he's getting, there's another clip here I thought you were going to play it, Patrick, where they asked him again last night, are you still going through the process? And he's like, yep, still going through the process. But he kind of smiled. So maybe he's feeling a little more confident about it. Remember, they're trying to install this new Shanahan run scheme. You had a lot of hiccups in with the preseason so far where the line isn't really getting it. Mac Jones has been frustrated. But again, I just think with Belichick, he can do it all. But you know what? I'd like to have a real offensive coordinator who's had experience, especially in the Shanahan scheme. We'll see how it plays out. That being said, Patrick, give me the over 8.5 with New England this year.
Well, I was just going to ask you that. I'm looking at the market right now at DraftKings. It's 8.5. You got to pay a little juice, $1.20 to the over. There's a couple things I didn't like. I didn't like your tone right there, Josh, because one, it's Coach Belichick to you, not Belichick. So
that's
let's
right.
be easy
right.
there.
I'll run a lap.
Two,
okay,
two, questioning this guy. Like, everybody questioned him when he drafted Cole Strange. I mean, the guy is beyond reproach, so let's go ahead and take it easy there. And three, I just kind of like what he's doing. It's covert. It's a mystery. It's shrouded in mystery, and he knows exactly what he's doing. It's like somebody told me one time, they said, you know who the best special teams coordinator is in the NFL? Bill Belichick. He knows exactly what he's doing. So we can move on from there. Now, we have to discuss the Bucs. And this, you just made me think of something, because yesterday, you know, the Tom Brady situation is nebulous, right? We don't know what's going on. Obviously, a shroud of mystery with his absence. Immediately, we thought maybe it had something to do, Josh, with his mother, who had been sick for years. We heard it wasn't that, so that's great. That's a relief. Yesterday, I received a text message from a friend that said Tom Brady is away filming The Masked Singer. Now, I just wrote back laughing emoji, assuming that it was all a joke. And then all of a sudden she was like, no, I think there might be something here. I don't know where he is, but I'm guessing he's not away doing The Masked Singer. What we do know is Tampa Bay's in Tennessee today. Tennessee opened 2.5. They've been bet up to 3 at most shops with a total of 38, Josh.
Yeah, and I think I actually heard that too, Patrick, and I was like, what is, you know, what's the deal with that? What's going on? But remember, Brady, on the one hand, you know, he's obviously, you know, one of the greatest or still the greatest quarterback right now, but yet he is setting up, I think, a lot of his post-career stuff. Like, he's just filmed a movie there. I think it's called 80 for Brady, where Gronk and Edelman and Amendola are all coming out. So they're filming that. He's got his new Brady brand. There's a rumor, too, that Giselle thought he was going to retire, and they had a trip planned, and Giselle said, hey, I'm not canceling my trip. We're going on this vacation. So we don't really know what's going on, and that win total is 11.5. half with the Bucks, but it's really juiced up under, like, minus 125. You can go contrarian, and that's kind of my take, Patrick. If Brady's okay, and you did hear Bulls say, I know exactly when he's coming back. I'm not going to tell you when, but I know exactly when he's coming back. Then if you want to go contrarian, I think 90% of bets are on that Bucks under. And when people bet against Brady, that's a spot that I probably want to get behind. So I'm actually thinking maybe that's a, you know, hold your nose and hazmat over 11.5 with the Bucks. In terms of this game today, Patrick, I'd be looking at Tennessee on the money line here. Tampa Bay, obviously no Brady. You're going to get a lot of Trask, maybe some Blaine Gabbert here. And also the way that Bowles is handling it, he's got his sights set on obviously a really long season here. And I think kind of that McVay playbook of let's not play a lot of our guys, let's not get injured. And again, what's the market telling us, Patrick? You're totally right. It opened Tennessee laying 2.5. I even saw some books closer to 2. Now it's up to -3. So look at that late movement. To me, when you get to game day, and we're going to talk about all these games, but especially these 1 o'clocks coming up, the late movement is critical because that's when information is seeped out. We're going to sit our guys. We're going to rest our guys. The line is going to Tennessee. I just don't want to mess around with laying a 3, Patrick, when you have missed kicks, missed field goals, missed extra points. I'd be looking at the money line here with Tennessee around minus 150.
Yeah, you said something there that surprised me. You're telling me the Bradys couldn't afford the deposit they put down on a Carnival cruise? They couldn't afford to miss out on the deposit? I don't think so, Josh. If Brady is literally filming The Masked Singer, that is an all-timer. Let's just be clear about that. And you mentioned some of these numbers getting hit during the break, Josh. We should probably touch on this quickly because line movement is so important. And those betting splits, which you can find at VSiN.com, are so important as well to see where the money's going. You just let me know there was a big hit with this Detroit and Indianapolis game.
Yeah, we're seeing late movement here, Patrick. I'm kind of getting worried. I moneylined Detroit yesterday on the news that Frank Reich and Indianapolis Colts were going to sit all their guys. They're going to rest everybody. Whereas Detroit, as you know, Patrick, your guy, Mr. Kneecaps, he takes these games very seriously. He's probably going to be doing up downs and jumping jacks with his team before the game and, you know, banging his head against their helmet to get him going. But I think the important thing here is late buyback. I'm getting a little worried because, again, all movement was toward Detroit. A lot of these books open like a pick 'em type game. I even saw one book around, you know, Colts -1. We're showing Lions -3 right now, but this is how fluid the betting market is. We're only a few hours away from this 1 o'clock game. That -3 Lions is down to -1.5. So maybe Mr. Kneecaps is sitting some of his guys, Patrick. We shall see. I'll dig into that, you know, on Twitter during our break here, but a little late movement back to the Colts. I'm going to dance with the one who brung me though. I'm sticking with the Lions on the money line against the Colts team sitting most all their guys.
Yeah, Frank Reich, as you mentioned, you see the number there. Good job, Stephen Bond. 38 on the total. The Lions now sitting 1.5. Frank Reich yesterday did say the majority of his starters, including Matt Ryan, won't play. Remember, they played a bunch in week one against Buffalo. They won't play. However, a very competent backup in Nick Foles. Sam Ellinger played very well in week one as well. The Lions, this is fascinating, and it really is indicative of how the market is driven, Josh, where you get a team that everybody's excited about. You look at the narratives. Are the Lions going to be the breakout team this year? And everybody starts to get on board, and you start to see the market go that way as well, right? The Lions are the hot team right now. The Lions gave up 168 yards on the ground to Atlanta in week one of the preseason. The Lions defense is very bad. Trust me when I tell you this. This is not a very good football team. Yes, they have weapons on offense. I understand that. But I think some of the excitement is a little premature, to be fair, Josh.
I'm with you, Patrick. And here's another factor. They're on Hard Knocks. So if you're watching Hard Knocks and how great they are and how awesome they are, that's kind of the, you know, when I'm a contrarian, I like to bet against these things. When everyone's saying, ooh, look how great the Lions are. Look how exciting they are, how young and how this, you know, coach has really got them going here. But if they get too overvalued here, like I think if you've seen a huge move, I think the over is 6.5, Patrick. It's really juiced up over like -115. I don't know how many games they'll win this year, but I actually like them covering quite a few numbers, even though I think, what were they, 3-14, something like that, Patrick? I think they were 10-7 ATS. So they lost a lot, but they covered good numbers. If they're contrarian, I'm looking at taking the points with the Lions a lot this year.
Yeah, you said juiced up 115. It's 6.5, juiced up to 125 over at DraftKings on the Detroit Lions, a team that's won exactly one playoff game since 1957. Let me check. Josh, you weren't born then for like 40 years, okay? Carl Johnson is next here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Brent, thank you. Experience the thrills of Fight Night with BetMGM. Sign up today using the bonus code VSIN1000, VSIN1000, and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. Get in the ring and enjoy instant access to a variety of parlay selection features and daily boosted odds specials. You can even wager on MMA tonight, Salt Lake City. The welterweight champion goes head-to-head with the number two contender in the main event. It's going to be great. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter the bonus code VSIN1000. So again, your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. That's incredible. BetMGM.com, 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Got to be 21 years or older. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Nevada, or New York. As we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line, good morning. I'm Patrick Maher. He is Josh Applebaum. This is VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. We welcome in old boy Carl Johnson out at the Beau Rivage. He runs the race and sports book down there in Biloxi, Mississippi. And we say, good morning, Carl. How you feeling?
Hey, good morning, guys. It's good to see you guys. We are fine as frog hair standing in a sea of love, baby.
that's what's up, my man Carl Johnson. Hey, how's the handle been? We're going to get to some of these win totals in college football down in SEC country there. But how's the handle been so far in the preseason there at the Beau?
Yeah, picking up. You can just feel it in the air. Each week, each day, we're getting people coming in. Last night, three games on slate, handle was good. We had two good outcomes. And then the Saints-Packers game, believe it or not, they bet us Packers. So we lost a little bit there. But added to three games last night, two of them went our way. So it's the handle's been good, and it's getting better every day.
Hey, Carl, did you shed a tear for Nick Saban when you heard that he had to go through a rebuild last year at Alabama? I'm looking at the board right now. They're plus 175 to win a championship, and their BetMGM is 11.5 on the win total for Bama this year. I mean, I just felt badly for him that he had to go through that rebuild last year, no?
Yeah, well, his rebuilds are a whole lot different than everybody else's rebuilds. I mean, he gets those five-star guys every year. I'm looking at it. We've got them, plus $1.90 to win it all, 11.5, and it's actually the over's juiced up plus 110 as of just a little while ago.
All right.
Carl, it's great to see you.
Let me just follow up one thing, Josh, and I'll let you jump in there. LSU, that has been a team, as you saw, Carl, that's been taking some heat. Where are they sitting as far as the win total there at the Beau?
Yeah, so LSU's at 6.5, it's regional bias down here, of course, so the people are betting them, but, we got some smart money betting them too, for LSU, it all depends on how they play this game against Florida State. If they come out, look good, run the football, able to throw it a little bit, establish their identity a little bit. I think this team can get to like 5-0. So I like the over in this win total here, and there's a bunch of smart money down here that's on that also.
And Carl, as you mentioned, that first game there, Florida State, LSU. LSU's -3, so we're sitting on a key number here. We'll see if that goes up or down. But Carl, real quick, we just legalized betting in Massachusetts, so I'm finally joining the party. And I heard a rumor you might be coming up to the MGM Springfield in Western Mass. So if you do come up, you hit me up. We'll pound some Sam Adams together and celebrate, my man. But I want to ask you, in terms of NFL and preseason, how difficult is it for you as a bookmaker to really keep up with all these line moves and move the number based on who's playing and who's not? It's hard for bettors on the one hand, to get this information and jump on these lines before they move. But how hard is it for you as the bookmaker to adjust the number? Like Patriots, they shot up all the way to 6.5 last night, knowing that the Panthers wouldn't play. And then also any big smart money coming in on today's games.
Yeah. So far today, we haven't had any big bets come in, but if you look at last night, if you just followed the line movements and went with the line movements, you went 3-0 last night. And that's been typically, the way it is, I've texted you earlier. I don't know if I'll be coming up that way, but I did talk to the guys at MGM Springfield. They wanted to talk about some operational stuff. I think you guys are going to be really happy. So your niece and audience out there, they're going to put a good product together. They got some good guys out there. And I think it's going to go really well. But yeah, so it you know, as far as booking this stuff, you know, I mean, we're just trying to survive this preseason stuff. I mean, typically we get beat in preseason, sharp money wins, but you know, it's just typical preseason, and we're just ready for the regular season.
A great example of that would be, I'm just taking a look at the board. Buffalo just got hit up to 7. So Buffalo's sitting 7, Carl. That is not a number you generally see in the preseason.
Yeah. No, I mean, and look, we opened that game Broncos 2-39. You know, that game totally flipped, probably on news, you know, who's playing, who's not playing. You know, I haven't seen 7 here yet. I do see 6.5 and 42. But we may have moved to 7 while I was waiting to do the show.
And along those Detroit lines, guys, keeps on getting hit. I just want to say, Josh, the board is lighting up right now. Something Detroit must have announced something because, again, Frank Reich said he's not going to start anybody with the Colts. So you saw that number jump up to 3 with Detroit. It's essentially a pick 'em across the board, Josh. So something's going on with Detroit right now.
Yeah, something's going on. You'd have to assume that maybe Detroit's going to sit some of their guys or some smart money. You know, actually, someone slid into my DMs a second ago, told me big money hit Colts plus 3 to bring that line down. And, of course, it's not just what side you like, but what number you got. The 3 is now gone, so some of that value is now gone. But, Carl, let me ask you just in terms of, you know, some of these NFL teams, their win totals, their futures. Number 1, Buffalo Bills. This is the team with the highest win total, 11.5, really juiced up over. Are you taking a lot of liability on the Bills to win the Super Bowl, to win the AFC East? Then also, what's going on with almost at the Patriots? The Bucks there with Tom Brady. That win total was 11.5, super juiced up under. We still don't know what's going on with Brady, but the Bucks and the Bills or any other teams, Carl, just in terms of Super Bowl money or futures, what are you taking at the book?
Yes. So both of those teams are quite popular down here. You know, we take a lot of Buffalo money. You know, the good thing about the you know, for us, you know, in terms of liability is that, you know, they're already starting out as the favorite. So there's not going to be a whole lot of liability once this thing's over with. I mean, you know, once we see that we're getting just a ton of money on Buffalo, we'll move these other teams up, make them look a little bit more attractive and try to get some money in their pools. I mean, that's how futures work. And as far as Tampa Bay, I mean, Tampa Bay, this book down here is a pretty big Tampa Bay area friendly book. I mean, we get a lot of people in from that area. You know, they're always going to bet Brady. Right now, they are at 11.5, and I'm seeing the juice of minus 110 both ways here. They're both very active here. We get bets on them every day.
You know, we always talk about the market being regional, Carl, and I want to bring up the Saints for that very reason, because I know a book in Las Vegas yesterday took a big bet on the Saints, and they're over win total. I wonder, down at the Bow, where you're sitting in Saints country, have you been hit with futures money on the Saints?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people down here think the Saints are underrated, I think once again, you know, like Michael always says, it's going to come down to quarterback play there. I mean, if Winston can protect the football, you know, they've got a good chance. They can already, we know that they can run the football. We know that they play good defense, you know, tough division, you know, in there with Tampa Bay, but they do have some, you know, it's probably a 2-team race there. I kind of like that over a little bit, you know, and I'm just hoping that Winston can protect the football like he did last year. But, yeah, we get bet, you know, and that's that regional bias. It's hard to tell sometimes whether it's just, you know, smart money coming in or because everybody down here bets them. I mean, we're always lopsided right to the Saints.
It makes sense. The same in Michigan with the Detroit Lions. My goodness, they're going to win 20 games this year. Okay, regular season Saints right now, 8.5 is the number. A little juice at DraftKings on the under. We got about a minute and a half here, Carl. Before we say goodbye, how's the party planning going for Millie and Michael Lombardi's arrival? I know that is the king and queen are coming down to the Bow. This is a big deal. How's the planning coming along?
Yo, we can't wait, man. We're going to have a good time. You know, we got Millie hooked up. You know, she's going to do some spa time. I think Michael and I, after the show Saturday, are going to watch some college football, and I'm going to teach Michael how to eat. You know, I don't, you know, he eats that good food. Him and Berman, you know, those guys do cookouts every day. I'm going to teach him how to eat some good Southern food down here.
Are you saying that Michael's may be a little bougie, Carl? Is that what you're saying? That his palate is bougie?
Yeah. No, I mean, he's got good taste. I mean, if you look at his outdoor kitchen equipment, I mean, he's got the best, you know. So I'm going to learn some stuff from him, and I'm going to make sure I feed him and put plenty of drink in him.
Racing Sportsbook Director Carl Johnson, Jick Jack Johnson on Twitter is a must follow. Thank you, Carl. Have a great Saturday.
You guys have a good one. Good seeing you, Josh.
Great seeing
you,
Jack.
We're going to come back and discuss the board for these 8 preseason games is lighting up. We'll discuss next here at Lombardi Line.